So I get called to this house. We're going to, well, actually, we're going to take $10-$20 to an individual that had called in. We have no idea how they got the number. Back in the old Shadow of the Darkness phone line, they called and said, could you please bring us food? So, well, we gathered some funds and didn't know exactly what they needed. So we got some money. We got some food. We got some groceries. Went to the place there in Kent, Ohio. Couldn't find the place, so we stopped into the offices. Saw a sign, said offices, go inside. There's a woman sitting there. Her arms are all wrapped up and bloody. She looks at me, and I see it in her eyes. The lady across the desk stands up and says, Pastor Russ, this is the providence of God. Praise God. I can't believe you're here. We need you right here, right now. The girl with her arms all bloodied up had come back from the hospital the night before. Suicide programming. A full-blown chosen one. I looked at her and began to talk and tell her who I was and what we understood and that there's many personalities inside of her listening and I'd like to help her. And she began to growl. Sounds began to come out. One little personality popped right up and began to tell us about a coven and about satanic practices and about the ancient brotherhood and about her grandfather, the Nazi, and the farm they live on and the place where it's done and Towner's Woods and all these things. Another personality began to talk and another began to talk. And then the demonic began to rise. And there in that offices, we had prayed for all of it to be stopped. And we offered to her to have a full-blown session. Beginning to go in to deal with the demonic, to bring the healing of the living Christ. And to help this lady, well, 20-some-year-old woman. Phone call comes in again. It's the girl. She wants help. She wants us to come. So we go back to help her, and there are four or five people pretty much guarding her house, guarding us from getting there. They answer the door. They don't let us in. They don't let us talk to her. We travel up again and again. We call again and again, and then she disappears. We couldn't find her. See, now we'd already spent 9 years praying in the area, 9 years in the backwoods and fields and places looking for the coven that we've been told about, looking for the victims that we've been told about, looking again and again and again, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock at night, traveling, driving, prayer mapping all over Kent State, Ohio. Finally, in our prayers and search for the victim, there was somebody, as we went to the same apartment, knocked on the door, nobody answering again, somebody yelled out of another apartment through the screen. We didn't even see who it was. He said, are you looking for her? And he named the girl's name. We said, yes, we're looking for her. She's been missing for some time. He said, she's moved. And he gave us the address in Ravenna, Ohio. The Nazi farm, the satanic place, the coven, where the Nazi grandfather and the Lebensborn-looking father, oh, white, whitish, grayish, blondish hair, bright blue eyes. We come to see so-and-so. She's not here right now. She's in the city babysitting children. Dangerous, unhealed multiple, unhealed chosen one. We go again and again. We leave materials. We leave literature. We're looking at the spot, the place. Providence of God is guided and led. And then we get the call. Phone call comes in. Somebody, some personality is now speaking, leaves the message threatening us. If we ever show up there again, they're going to call the cops. Don't ever show up here again. Don't ever come here again. Now, why would that occur? Why would anybody do that when we've come to help clearly a victim with a grave, grave and dangerous things going on in their own life? We'll tell you more about threats, these kind of things here. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, Shatter's live broadcast on a Wednesday night. It's May the 18th, 2011, and we have 1 hour to engage you, engage by God's providence. All those listening by satellite, welcome. By the internet radio, welcome. And by the archives, so thousands of you all over the world. God's hand is big. God's hand reaches. God's hand moves. God knows how to get into the prisons. He knows how to get into the castles. He knows how to get into the underground. Do you remember in the book of Daniel, the demon-worshipping king? He's back there with all the objects of the and articles of the temple of God that had been taken and brought into their temple as a demonstration of subjecting Yahweh to the demon god that they worshipped. You know, they take all the articles and so forth and put them in there. Well, they're in there having a big party, a big pagan fest. They're having a great big party and drinking and going on. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a hand appears and begins to write on the wall. That's where we all get the phrase, the writing is on the wall. The writing of God, the hand of God, all of a sudden a hand appears. That to me is massively supernatural. Right in the face of the demon-worshipping king that is by mockery and by arrogance and pride using the articles of the temple of God in blasphemy. Back there deep in the room, all protected, not from God, though. The handwriting's on the wall, King. It's over for you, King. It's done, King. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine the handwriting? Now, this again, the story is in Daniel's day. He lived in threat constantly. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all thrown into the fire. Do you remember the fire? The great fire, because they wouldn't bow down to the idol. They told the king very clearly, hey, even if our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bow down and yield ourselves to a demon finite territorial God, small g. Our God is able to deliver, and even if he doesn't, we won't bow down. You ever say that? You ever know that you know God so well, so deep, so broad, deep inside of you, that no matter what goes on, you won't turn against him, you won't deny him, you won't shove him aside. All over the world, the persecuted church, voice of the martyrs. All over the world, there's persecution. All over the world, there are believers that have been beaten, that have been hacked down in South America, that have been put in prison there in China, that the old atheistic communists had beaten and tortured and psychologically abused there in Russia. The Nazis obviously didn't like real believers, let alone the Catholic Church. What is it that would bring that kind of threat? Why did somebody show up on my doorstep, put something in blood on the doorstep, warning us not to come? Why did we get a phone call telling us that Maggie's power belongs to the Circle of Dominion for us to back away and leave her alone? She was a federal officer's wife, demonized, multiple chosen one. But we kept getting the calls warning us. They tracked us. They showed up at our house. They showed up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They walked up in the middle of the night to my daughter's window. They showed up in the church. A lady with a tattoo on her left wrist, War on the Saints, came to me face to face in the church building down there by the by the pulpit area after it was all over, hundreds of people all over, and she said with those cold, steely eyes, "We're coming to take your daughter. We're going to take your daughter. We're going to sacrifice her. I've lost my rank because I gave you the Book of Shadows, and the only way for me to get the rank back is to come steal your daughter and sacrifice her." I waited for them. I waited for them. Standing in the presence of God, I knew I would do whatever it took to protect my daughter. And so we're out getting a lead. It wasn't true, though. It was sub-personalities, cult loyal, coven loyal, sub-persons inside that were literally loyal to the coven that gave us misinformation back there in the 90s. This happened again and again till we learned what they were doing. The end of the 80s, the early 90s, yeah, we learned the hard way, the methodology of sub-personalities telling us, oh, they're going to do the ritual over here, and then we're set up. Oh, come over here, there's going to be danger, and they're going to abduct a girl, and then all of a sudden we're set up. They took pictures of us. They took our materials with pictures and did rituals, and they put markings on our cars. They sent us stuff in the mail that had blood on it and languages and things that we've never been able to decipher to this day. Bones, feathers, power cones, pinnacles, sigils. Individuals that showed up into our yard, drove right up into the yard, began to take pictures of the house. My buddy stationed across the street at the time followed the car, chased after it actually, got the license plate number. As a police chaplain, I turned that license plate number over. They ran an NCIC check. It went to a man out of a neighboring city, just about 40 minutes away, special ops military individual. Considered a watcher. We'd had reports of him for years, but all of a sudden, sure enough, there he is in my front yard. Came to the new house here a few years ago. The driveway is like an umbrella. You know, it goes around and then loops all the way around the back, so you can't see the back of the house because of the front. Long driveway. So we're driving out of my old truck, that old red Ford truck I had before it blew up. There's a incredibly beautiful, I don't know if it was a Navigator or an Escalade SUV pulling in. There he was again. The military special ops watcher for the Ancient Brotherhood. He's the enforcer going around silencing chosen ones. And there he is, a woman taking pictures. I got out of my car, walked right up to the window, confronted them, looked at him. He wouldn't look at me. You see, now that he's been put out onto the field, I have been praying for him and his salvation for all of these days. The other one that threatened me, he's going to get me. Another one that calls and tells us to back away, playing Enochian chants, sending younger individuals. They were supposed to break into our house and do harm. They got the house wrong. They broke into the house next door. It was a police officer's house, and when my wife and the police officer's wife came home, the police officer's wife called, and there were cop cars everywhere. The young folks that were dropped off to do harm and, desecrate, they had desecrated a church in Cuyahoga Falls. They'd done harm. And all of a sudden, they're running through the woods and trying to get out of there. When I showed up, law officer came up to me and asked me who I was. And I said, well, my wife lives over here and I live over here. And they said, well, do you know the police officer's wife over here at this house? I said, yeah. Well, they said some Satanist tried to get into that house. My wife, pregnant at the time. No phones in our new apartment when we were there. But they broke into the wrong place. Interesting. Over the years, I have seen, again, threat and threat and threat, face-to-face, at our door. Listen, we've had the alarms go off. Yeah, there's motion alarm, pressure alarm, other things that has been used in the past because of such violent threats, even a safe house for a while. We know what it is. We know what it is to live under that at times. Let me read you something. You can guess where it's from. Here's what it says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. There were murderous threats being unleashed. There was a hunting down of believers. Stephen had been martyred by stoning. Remember Stephen? His face glowed like that of an angel, and he screamed out back at them, "Hold not this sin against them. Into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord Jesus." Listen, what he saw in the midst of his martyrdom, Jesus at the right hand of majesty, absolute equality with God in that vision, because he is. Hey, you want to stop for a moment and tell you this is Russ Dizdar. We've got a series this week. This week, you know what it is? Random or not, that's the series we're doing, and it's all about random episodes, events, chaos, and the crazy eruptions of the end of days. You know, what's up with May 21st? Well, we already did the Harold camping thing yesterday, so you have to go back to Tuesday if you want the archive on that. And going over the reasons why, his numerology and his allegory and the interpretations, just absolutely nothing to do with the simplicity of the revelation of the end of days. No one knows the day or the hour. How much clearer could Jesus make it 2,000 years ago? We are, though, however, to know about the signs, all of them that are global. Once there's the collection of all of them on a global scale, then we can know that it's very near. But not the date, not the day, not the hour. As soon as you see somebody put up the day and the hour, just go ahead and say it out loud. Here's another nut. Well, off the tracks. So I get from Deborah, a friend, appreciated deeply. Here's what it says. Hundreds of children being accused of witchcraft as belief in demonic possession spreads across the UK. Interesting. Rob Cooper writes this article. Beautiful picture of a little girl, obviously one of them, that died in one of Britain's worst child abuse cases. Now, I've got to have you listen to this carefully, because this is going to show you how things develop at times. I know what deliverance is. We've been engaged in it over 30 years. We've seen horrific cases, the most bizarre things, the voices of the demonic. We've seen attack and threats and languages and weird things and all kinds of stuff. There's no question to me the demons are real. Wasn't any question prior to listening or engaging them, because I've already read the Gospels. I already knew that it was all true. God, who is spirit, God is real. The Spirit of God is real. I know him. He dwells inside because of Christ being Savior and Lord. But it's the other spirits and what occurs and the weird things in these end of days. Here's what it says, quote, hundreds of witchcraft abuse cases are going unreported across the country each year. It has been revealed. Officials have said from the child protection officers, only tipped off in the most extreme cases when a child's life has been put in danger. Hundreds of children may be left to starve, beaten, have chili rubbed into their eyes. Youngsters born with physical and mental defects are most at risk from abuse. Relatives often believe that the children are possessed and the torture is carried out as a form of exorcism. Listen to this again. And the torture is carried out as a form of exorcism. Then it goes on to this word. This is where Rob Cooper, the man writing the article, is really, again, off the target. It says this: extreme evangelical Christian churches, most prevalent in the Democratic Republic of Congo, have often grown significantly in recent years, and their influence is thought to have spread to groups in the UK. A decade ago, the death of Victoria, a little girl that's pictured here, suffered appalling injuries at the hands of her aunt and boyfriend, who believed she was possessed by the devil, sparking huge public anger. The 8-year-old had 128 injuries on her body in a case described by a pathologist as one of the worst ever child abuse cases. She was tied up, hit, and with bike chains, and attacked with lighted cigarettes. Now, here's again the nuts, the random crazy nuts of the end. Whether it's the end of days or not, just absolutely insane. Let me find one New Testament verse that says, use cigarettes to burn out the devil. Use a bike chain to beat children to get the demons out. Roll them up in a carpet, tie them up, slap them, punch them, rub hot chili pepper in their eyes. Where is that found in the New Testament anywhere? How could that be associated with extreme, quote, extreme evangelical Christian churches? Any place that does this would be doing exactly what bizarre, occult-oriented practices. These are bizarre and occult superstitious practices. I was in St. Louis. I was one of the speakers at a conference a number of years ago, and a great man, a friend, was there speaking on behalf of the children of South Africa. He was showing video. He was showing slide pictures of children. He was actually showing where these people that claimed to be priests, actually, they would dress up and they would look almost Anglican, and they would have Christian trappings and crosses, and they would act in a ceremony, liturgical way. They would be invoking God's name, whatever else, and they would be in these huts, and then they would begin to take these kids and strap them down. They would put them under water, almost drowning them. They would abuse these kids. They would traumatize these kids, all because they said they were getting out the demons, that they were exorcists, and they made the parents and the relatives pay money. They're charlatans, liars. There's no such thing biblically. Jesus never did it that way. When he engaged a child that was demonized, he didn't even need to touch the child. He addressed the demon. We learned that. You don't even have to yell and scream like some people do. The authority of Christ is not to be used in exploitive ways with television cameras and making people go through things just to show people and then take the big offering. How stupid is that? So I find myself in this conflict. You see, there are those that are using the old ways of animism, old superstitions, spirits, you know, superstitions, all kinds of crazy things that have nothing to do with the gospel. When you read Luke's gospel, chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the disciples, they're just told to command the demons, to order them out, just like Jesus did. See, Jesus comes to set people free from the torture, from the bondage, from all those things. Jesus doesn't need you to throw salt on people, tie people down. Jesus doesn't need you to do any kind of weird stuff. As a matter of fact, when deliverance is done right, it demonstrates not only the authority of Christ, but the incredible compassion and miracle. Oh, listen, you want to see an extreme case in the Bible? Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Find out what happens in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, how Jesus approached it. Take a look, if you want to Acts chapter 16 and see the Apostle Paul, maybe a number of years later, there he is engaging a young girl that's prostituted by occultists, by her psychic or predictive powers, Python, demonic empowerment, and this spirit is mockingly going around, and Paul was agitated in spirit. I know what that feeling is. He turns around. He doesn't yell at the girl. He addresses the spirit and commands the spirit, get out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Guess what? The demon leaves, the girl set free, and the dark occult powers are no longer available. That's how you do it. That's all there is. Nothing like what I just read here, what's going on in Africa. And when you see those kind of things and you see those kind of reports, and we've dealt with those before, we've been showing up places where we've been called, where people have put up barriers and put up signs and put barriers of salt and drawn things and garlic up and all kinds of stuff as if Dracula himself is going to show up. What do you do in the midst of threats? We're going to look over things. If you have the PDF file notes, we have outline notes on the website. Again, if you're brand new, welcome to Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on May the 18th. The website, got a lot of stuff on that website. Hundreds and hundreds of downloads, courses, conferences, materials to help you out. All of it's free. And so if you go there, it's busy, yes. But take your time. A lot of things to get a hold of there. It's being downloaded in over 90 countries of the world by the hundreds and by the thousands. Last year, a couple million. So we're glad for the impact. We are apologetic about not being able to get back to all the hundreds of people writing in. Some even asking for direct help. Let me tell you this, in Russia, Oslo, in Sweden, in Estonia, in Germany, and Italy, listen, Jesus is there where you are. He can save, he can heal, he can deliver. There's extraordinary things. He is filled with compassion. God loves you today. And may God stretch out his hand to save and heal and deliver and show even extraordinary, extraordinary sign and wonder, a miracle in your life in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I like to say it in the Greek, Yesu Christu. We can say it in the Hebrew, Yahweh Adonai. This is who he is, Savior and King and friend alive. Stephen Hawking, the scientist, well, in his mind, in that loneliness, in that crippled up loneliness, wow, I put it on Facebook and I put my response to Stephen Hawking's declaration there is no God and that the afterlife is a fairy tale. And listen, not only has he lost it, all these years of his life, that's why I think the case is so sad, and the arrogant declaration, as if he had the right to do it, as if he was able to say it with infallible declaration. So I have to be straight with a scientist, a physicist, world-renowned, and so his words are heard around the world, but the response, well, on the Facebook page that we put it up on, has been one of the largest responses. And I've seen believer after believer after believer after believer saying one thing. They're praying for him. Praying for you, Stephen Hawking. All around the world, you've drummed up a lot of real believers that are praying for you in your blindedness, in your lostness. God's not going to submit to you saying, this is the hoop of evidence I desire. God must jump through this hoop. God's not your puppy dog. God is God. His evidence of creation itself, well, it says it in Romans 1, I believe it, that mankind is without excuse knowing the existence of God and the power of the gospel. Well, you reject it. You reject the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. New Agers have nothing in comparison. The remote viewers have nothing. Listen, in comparison, what can you compare God in human flesh on a cross, dying for you, bleeding for you, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, giving you the rights to have freedom from the sin issue and freedom from Satan's lies and deception? conception and be given the gift of eternal life, indestructible immortality, coming one day to see the face of God? Are you kidding me? Who could be ashamed of that? Who could be ashamed of Christ? Look how he loved individuals, how he delivered individuals and healed individuals and walked and communicated and shared. Look what they've done to him. Why did they threaten him? Why did they beat him? Why did they put him on the cross? Why did they mock him? Gamble for his clothing? What did he do wrong? Can I ask you that? What did he do wrong? Today we're talking on a Wednesday night about the nature of threats. And one of the reasons we're bringing it up is that lately we got a few new ones. Not heavy duty. Not that, listen, you do understand that even when it comes to psycho-Satanism or self-styled Satanism, like a Richard Ramirez, I mean, that could be very dangerous. He slaughtered individuals. Or Rawlings down there in the Gainesburg, in Florida, among that college area where he desecrated and destroyed young ladies because something in him named Gemini kept taking over and leading him to just destroy them. Or Robin Getz there, the Ripper crew in Chicago, and you can go on to more and more and more. I mean, someone like Jeffrey Dahmer, so unassuming and polite and yet he's cannibalizing and destroying and drilling holes in the heads of his victims. And while he did have a satanic altar made out of human thigh bones and a power cone triangle developed out of human skulls that he'd collected, was he a threat? Sure. You know, the kind of that could sneak up and, well, in that case, maybe the front personality is unassuming and like the sexual predator, smiling, offering a gift, seem to be vulnerable, all the while knowing that they are plotting something different. Infiltrators in churches across the United States since the 70s, throughout Europe also, but here in the United States, not a question about this. We've tracked it. We've dealt with it for years. We've seen the methodology. And we've seen the ruins that have been occurring here and there, maybe even in your fellowship. That's a threat. But what about the out-and-out threat? What about the out-and-out being told, do not speak? Young man in a high school here in our local area, we're working with young people. He's all excited, so he just simply takes his Bible with him to school where the principal comes out and tells him, don't bring that book into the school. Oh, really? What makes people so angry against believers? What makes a journalist all of a sudden associate goofball, cult-oriented, strange, ungodly, horrific so-called exorcisms like we read about here in the Congo and other places in South Africa? Now, again, it's showing up in England. It's showing up in the UK and other areas here in the United States because, you know, of immigrants and others coming in and carrying over the practice. Let me say again, that has nothing to do with Christianity. And I have no doubt that false flag events and episodes will occur only to bring outrage as we get closer and closer to the great chaos, the big rebellion, what they call the Black Awakening. Let's talk about the nature of the threats, A, B, threats in the book of Acts, and then C, threats in the book of Nehemiah. We'll touch on prophetic revelation. That is, what does God say in the future? Matter of fact, let me say it right now so that we can get it on the plate. End of days. Once the great massive chaos, if you read it all again, Revelation 6 and the white horse, red horse, that's just simply prophetic picture. It's dramatized pictorial revelation content. It is telling us about massive events, the way that they will be unleashed. And the red horse, of course, the concept, once unleashed, an event, global, taking peace from the earth. And regardless of how you look at it, this event, this episode causes humankind all of a sudden a butchering all over the world. The Greek word there is not used for war or sword, but it is used instead in the concept of animal sacrifice and butchery and a butcher chopping up meat. It's the idea of butchery, like a civil insurrection, like a massive riot, like a Black Awakening. It's exactly what that's talking about. And God gives, I mean, let's ask the question, why does God give the red horse revelation? A picture in the future of such radical, horrific evil when peace is taken. Now, let me ask you the question. Is this the moment in time? And I it's my opinion that when the restrainer, listen now, Christians know this, believers in Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2, God has set a restrainer in place holding all of hell's fury back. The finger of God holds back the sum total of hell's presence and power. Now, the Luciferians listening, the demonized subpersonalities that listen for a while, you know that you're bulging at the seams, you're pressuring to go forward, the elite on a political, economic, I mean, that Theoron system, Revelation 13, no question in place, in my view, in place already, laced in satanic supernatural secrecy. You read 2 Thessalonians 2. You see, it has to rise. It has to come out of somewhere and into visible structure, which means it's already there, like the apocalypse of the Antichrist. Already there, just unveiled, a visible appearing. But when you look at the Red Horse event, it says that all of a sudden peace is taken from the earth. Irene. Irene is a word that has the idea of the cessation of hostilities. A peace that holds back. And when that peace is all of a sudden, as an episode, as an event, taken from the earth. See, my opinion is I believe there's an association with the restrainer. When the restrainer is removed, it will not be as it has been in the last 60 years, an incremental frog in the kettle development of the dark side, saturating society, politics, economics, military vision, power of darkness in the air. So if you can feel and discern that it's in the air, that the dark side bulges at the seams, and it is as if they are going to make the call. They can make the call today. If God doesn't remove the strainer, they ain't going nowhere. Ha. Huh. The sovereign power of God, one restrainer in place, holding back the sum total. When the restrainer is removed, however, hell's activation, obviously, it's as if the locks on the gates have been removed and the vicious, hungry hounds see the gates open. You better believe that's how it's going to be. It's going to be an event, this rebellion, this revolt, this red horse issue. It's going to be an event that is unlike anything that's ever occurred politically, economically, nationally in the world, as Jesus says in Matthew 24. So you can't look over your shoulder and look back and say, ooh, this is kind of like what's going to happen. We see little scratches of things, but the events to come are unprecedented. They are new. They are broader. They are bigger. What the undergrounders have called collectively the Black Awakening, their satanic Pentecost, their unleashing, the chaos before a new order. But you know what it involves? When that chaos, when that rebellion, when that revolt, when that red horse take, that peace is taken. Let me ask you something. All of a sudden, there is a butchering of humanity. Canada, Australia, United States, all of Europe, England, Ireland, all across. Listen, all of a sudden there's a massive, massive butchering. There's a great threat, yes. God now has given cutting edge heads up warning of what is to come. But that doesn't end there. As bad as that will be, and they will target believers, as a matter of fact, as I've outlined in the book, The Black Awakening, part of the agenda of the undergrounders, with those being trained to be a part of, and they are clear that they are part of that which will cause the great chaos, the anarchy, that will bring collapse to nations, including the United States. But the collapse is part of it. In the context of the blood and the fury and the terror and the grid going down and all the rest, part of the job is the pre-chosen targets. Already marked out who they're going to kill and destroy, who they're going to butcher. I'm telling you, with every ounce of what we've known, on a biblical scale, it says it will occur. In our research, asking God to take us to see what the plot and the plan is all about, their goal of elimination of resistors. I mean, in coups around the world, that's what's done. But this is much broader. This is bigger than anything the world has ever seen. So I'm going to say very clearly that real believers, ones that satanic dark side understands is a problem. Well, guess what? You're targeted. Do the demonized individuals know who believers are? You ever read the book of Acts? Jesus we know, and Paul we know. To the unsaved individuals trying to play games of exorcism, the demon says, but who are you? See, there were people trying to play the game of exorcism even then. The demons knew there's no spirit of God in you. There's no living Christ in you. You're no threat to us. Well, they all get, well, you know the story. If you're a believer in Christ, there's an antagonist, there's an enemy, there's someone who would love to devour, to destroy you. There's another, a king, a cross, a death, a resurrection, a sovereign God that knows every move. Jesus says it in the high priestly prayer of John's Gospel 17 about protection. We're told this in 1 John 5 about the evil one, but we are protected. We do have the reality, though, when the doors and the gates are opened, and we do have the reality of the threats. You know how many threats I've gotten? One individual shows up and hands me a letter, supposedly written by an elite, Luciferian, Illuminati, whatever. You know, one of these guys that has split and programmed and created personalities, chosen ones, and trained them for years and years and years and years. And I'm sent this letter, supposed coming from him, saying that he can't wait to the great battle, that he can use these chosen ones on the field against us. Were there Christians persecuted all through the last 2,000 years? You better believe it. Anybody reading Fox's Book of Martyrs can read about how believers faced the Roman persecution, wrapped in skins of dogs thrown to the lions, nailed on crosses upside down. They put pitch on them or some kind of material, then they would light them. You ever read Wombrandt's Marx and Satanism? You ever see him describe how atheistic communist, and you've got to understand the occult and satanic background of Marx. And let me say, Russia is having a terrible time with the rise of deep level Satanism, infiltration into their military and into their law enforcement, where they've got young people sacrificing other young people and eating them. Oh, you can just simply do the search. Satan is in Russia. You're going to see all kinds of stuff. In Europe, you know that it's true. In London, you know that it's true. We can't have 100 million satanic, richly abused individuals worldwide for generations. Now, what I've done is on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, you'll notice where it says, this week's mini-cast overview. That's about an eight-minute verbal overview of this whole week, what we're going to do. And then there's the PDF, this week's study notes, if you want those. And then I have something new there. It says posted threats. When you click on posted threats, I am giving you, on a scale of 1 to 100, 2, 0.3, 0.4. That's what it is. What you're looking at there is 0.1, 2, or 3. A chosen one, a sub-personality trying to bring warning. Again, whether it's mock or not, I don't know. We're looking at it, though. It begins in English and goes right into Latin, and I'm going to quote it again. Quote, we wanted to let you know that... and again, it's kind of a little offbeat here that anyway, the sleepers will wake up early on May 21st. This coming Saturday, this is declaring that some of those sleepers, assassins, the ones that I have seen that are able to move quickly and attack and they're there to slaughter. They have no conscience. You can read about some of these stories in that book, The Black Awakening. Can I say, I urge you to get a hold of it because I'm telling you, and I'm one that has thousands and thousands of books. There's no book written like it yet, and we've got an update with it and a sequel to it if we have time. The book is to give you some of the blood and guts, some of the reality. It is to penetrate beneath the surface of that secret power of lawlessness and give a heads up. That's what it's about, and how we can respond and how we can spot and what we can do. But here all of a sudden, one of the very kinds of people that I write about in that book, subtitled, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. Yeah, I believe DARPA's infected. I believe the Russians have been for a long time, too. The Trojan horse has gone east and west out of Hell's Kitchen for their agenda. If you understand the origin of evil, fine. The methodology, that's even better. Scripture gives it. But the agenda... The biggest revelation in the New Testament concerning the dark side is laying out the satanic sequential agenda, the evolution of that satanic agenda that leads to the events, the great chaos, the apocalypse of Antichrist, and inseparable, the rise of the Theron system that has to be in place, the ascendancy of the false prophet from underneath underground. Mid part of the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation. I believe there's going to be an edict given to kill all believers worldwide. Why? Well, all of a sudden, there are believers. Every tribe, language, nation, people, group around the world, but they're martyrs. There's no question that there's going to be the desire to rid the world. There's no question that the dark side's plot is to annihilate Israel and get to the temple and the Antichrist to declare himself God, because it's all based on their knowing of what the prophetic scripture says. Christ is coming to the temple. The Messiah is coming, a millennial kingdom, the Prince of Peace, the end of radical evil, the binding of Satan. He knows that the time is short. You better believe that he is frantic and furious. There is massive, dark passion. Lethal passion. If you had ever been able to sit and listen to those who have sacrificed, cut into bodies, and done their work, and watch them as they describe how, to them, awesome, wonderful, it was. I can't even go into the gruesome explanation. I couldn't do it like they could. I couldn't reenact it. They revel in it. That's why their satanic rituals called revels. They revel in the blood. They revel in the harm. This goes on to say, there arises the gates of, this is the threat that was been put out and sent, and I tried to recontact this person to ask them more, to engage them. They may be listening right now, or the subpersonalities or the handlers, that might be true, but they haven't responded back. And again, you'll notice that I have not put their name out. All of a sudden, many of the assassins or murderesses and so forth, the murderers, they're scheduled to destroy. They're going to come against churches, ministries, create a lot of discord. Then they tell us here, you can't stop it, can't help it. And then it says to me particularly, you are our next target. Now, another thing, PDF file note there, it says about a threat. And you got to understand, we've gotten these a lot over the years. The worst was when it was a hand-drawn picture of a man in a black, satanic black-type robe, just like you think, and holding a baby that had been cut open. The blood was spilling. It said, this blood's for you. I was told later out of the brotherhood that this was supposedly a human sacrifice of a child against me, because of me. I know how I've prayed. I know how I have prayed concerning that. The letter that came into the mail with its symbols and signs and other language on it, then it says, because our attempt to lead a young man out of this dark side, somebody's riding along, sending a burnt piece of scripture, the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. They burned all the edges of it. And they simply say, be wary of the consequences of your resistance. Theron rises. It's a Greek word used of the Antichrist, of the false prophet, and of the system. And then I've also placed on there the actual one of five times now, because one occurred yesterday. During the live show, they called in. I didn't bother with it until later on. But again, if it would be a hoax, okay, but we put it out for others to listen to. This is the guy that I called and engaged clear across the other side of the country. But he's got something going on inside of him, something demonic has spoken through. So this time around, I've put it up on the web. It's there. And you listen at your own discernment with your own prayer covering. I'm not afraid to unveil radical evil. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You cannot expose what you do not know. God took Ezekiel in, and Ezekiel was willing, but God took him in supernaturally deeper and deeper and deeper and kept showing him the detestable things, even things that are more detestable. God will show these things. And it's recorded by the Spirit of God. Why? Well, to peel back and show what radical evil is all about. Its existence, where it hides, where it operates. In your city, satanic covens have operated for over 50, 60 years. Europe, United States, Canada, Australia, after the Nazis were defeated in that trial run, as some call it, well, everything went global. That's the way the scriptures demonstrate or expose the global development for global order, a global chaos, a global red horse event, a global black horse economic collapse event, and a pale horse event when 1/4 of mankind dies. Now, I know that's not all happy news, but listen, it is time to get out of la-la land concerning Christians living on a happy merry-go-round. All I want to do is be happy. All I want to do is be feeling good. All I want to do is get another buzz on spiritually. While all the world is going to hell, lost people are lost. Some Christians, all they want is just to be happy and stay their head in the clouds, just being. And so they don't want to read the scriptures, and they don't want any seminar on the rest of the massive content of the New Testament. They don't want to hear about the other things that are coming. They don't want to be stirred to purity in their own life. They don't want to stand on the side of God and have great, deep, God, Holy Spirit-led emotion to pray against the darkness, to know the authority of Christ, and to to be able to stand against the threats, let alone what really occurs. Our brethren in Christ around the world in the Sudan have been slaughtered. Not many people talking about it. So when I talk about these minuscule threats here, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the comments on Facebook. Thank you for the emails. But it is true, they have to get past God to get to one of his. When Saul of Tarsus was doing what he's doing and Jesus stopped him flat, it is I, Christ, whom you are persecuting. Let me say a word to the Luciferian, to the perpetrators, to the recon specialists listening, to spread to their leaders. God knows what you plot. God knows what you've done. He's way ahead of what you think you know. Is he able to visit you? I would ask that God, in the most extraordinary way, visit you. Like he did that king in the book of Daniel. Like he did Saul of Tarsus. To save you. Saul of Tarsus, you ever think that he wondered, I might get saved someday. All he cared about was destruction, breathing out murderous threats. Philip didn't run and hide. He kept on doing ministry. It was a platform to unleash greater ministry. So when I hear about the threats, when I see what the Word of God says about the end of days, that becomes my passionate platform to do all that I can to the glory of God, to the destruction of the dark side, and for the salvation of souls. Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Are you in or out? Born of the Spirit or dead to God? Lost? Heaven or hell? God summons you. That's why this program is here. The Spirit of God calls you to come to Christ, even those of you listening, even a young man in Oregon, even sub-personalities that have sent the threats and done the rituals and spilled the blood. God has ways of putting the writing on the wall. May God act in extraordinary miracle. May God do this to stop the destructive rituals of innocent victims, to engage perpetrators to save them like Saul of Tarsus. Listen, I got to give you here because we're at the end. I want you to look up Nehemiah chapter 4. Study the response of great leadership. Pastors, leaders, study the response of great leadership in the midst of threats. There's how you do it, right there. Nehemiah 4. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support.